I like that song. I like the words of that song. Yet not I, but Christ in me. Let's stand this morning, if you would, please. I want you to go to a very familiar portion of scripture. I want you to go to the book of James. James is in the New Testament. Go to Hebrews and turn right, and you got James. Go there to James chapter number one. James chapter number one. Well, some of you might say, well, I think he's preached this before. And yes, I have. I have preached this before. And let you know it was 4 years ago. I keep a date on when I preach things. So about 4 years ago. And how many of you remember it? Well, good. Okay. You guys don't even remember what I preached last week, let alone 4 years ago, right? But I want you to look at verse number 22, James 1, looking at verse 22. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Being doers of the word and just not hearers only. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again and ask your blessing upon your word today. Lord, that we might be doers of what we hear, and not just hearers, but Lord, doers of what your word says. And we understand today, Father, that it's the doers of your word that are blessed. So, Father, we want a blessing by doing what you would have us to do today. And so bless your word, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I don't know if you are like me or not, but technology has really passed me by. I don't understand the terms anymore. I thought I could get a handle on terms of technology, but you know, I think I've just I've given up. I guess I just can't keep up, and I don't know. Some of you in here are technology savvy and all of that, and that's good. But you know, we have a lot today to be thankful for in the way of invention and knowledge and all of the things like that that we go through. And now you can have your whole life, I guess, before you. If you want to look up anything, you can have it on your wristwatch. It used to be on your cell phone, but now it's on your wristwatch, and you can carry it with you all the time, and you have it around your wrist. But all these new inventions and everything, and there's new inventions coming on all the time. And if you put those all together, you know, all of these new inventions won't affect our lives like the Bible does. They can't get us to improve in life as much as the Bible does. If we're doers of the word that God gives us. You see, the Bible and the technology, you know, how many of you maybe go to sleep and you plug in your cell phone, or you turn on the thing, and you have the ocean breeze or the waves, you know, to kind of calm you down. And do any of you have that? Any of you turn on, Brad? Okay, you turn on noise, or you turn on something to soothe your mind so that you can settle down and go to sleep. Well, we have a cat at home that does that. So occasionally, if you want to just settle down and then just pause for a little while, I'll let Zoe in, and she'll come in and she'll lay on Deb's lap, and pretty soon she's purring away, and pretty soon I look over and they're both sound asleep. Okay? They're both sound asleep. And so I guess that's our technological cat, I guess, to do those kind of things. But even all of the things and the technology in which we see today in society, none of those things will give us the answers that the Bible does. The Bible soothes our soul and it calms our fears. It teaches us the truth. And it tells us the future. It tells us the future of what's going to be. In fact, the Bible is that which makes our lives a success. And it is the determining factor of whether a life is a successful existence or not, the Bible. It is that which God says is the saving of our souls, and certainly that is the only way for a life to be successful is to be saved. You see, many times we hear the term, the Bible contains truth. But in reality, as I heard it this past week, and the Bible doesn't contain the truth, it is the truth. It is the very truth. And we're in society today, we're struggling with what is truth. What is the right way, or all of that. And so, you know, when we come about thinking about what is truth, we don't have any problem about what truth is, because the Word of God is truth. It is the truth of God's Word. And so we have already learned here in the book of James, if you just kind of glance at these verses as we go along. If you look at verse number 2 in James chapter 1, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials." In other words, when trials and situations in our life come about that we don't understand, we're to count it all joy. We're to count it all joy. You know, how many times do we have situations in our lives that we don't understand? Deb's probably getting sick and tired of me complaining about, I have this nerve pain in my back going down my left leg. And she, even last night as I was staying up all night just to keep this leg from killing me, I don't know where it's coming from or why it's there or how I got it, but I look back on things that I do, and I tell her, I said, "Well, I'm not doing anything. I'm just laying around most of the time now because of the pain." And she says, well, she didn't tell me to count it all joy. She didn't tell me to count it all joy. But as I was reading this here and studying on this, you know, count it all joy when we enter the various trials and temptations in life, when we don't understand what they are, we're to count it all joy. And look at verse number 5 here in chapter number 1. If any of you lack wisdom, how many of us lack wisdom? Boy, that's me. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know, when we get to thinking about that, well, when we don't know the right way to go or the decisions that we need to make in life, we need to have a wise understanding. So we ask God about giving us wisdom on how we can handle things in life. And so we do that. We find there in verse number 17 of this same chapter that God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find there in that verse, he is unchangeable. Unchangeable. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's the same, always the same. And so in verse number 19, it tells us how to handle anger. anger. And so in verse number 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, or slow to wrath. And yet sometimes we find ourselves really angry and we fly off the handle. Okay? But today we want to study what it means to be doers of this word and not just hearers. Be doers. We find there in verse number 21, it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And so when we look at this, this means to get rid of those things that weigh us down, the sin, and we're all sinners. We're all sinners. We do that. We're born that way. But to get rid of that, we find there in Hebrews chapter 12, we're to lay aside those things which so easily beset us, those sin which does so easily trick us and beset us, and to run with patience the race that's set before us. You know, we're all in a race, aren't we? We're all in a race. God has placed us on the racetrack of life. And we're all going to go on that racetrack until God says you finished the course. We don't know how long it'll be. We don't know. But it means be teachable, become moldable, become useful. And so God's word brings about change. It brings about salvation. It brings about regeneration. The Bible gives us illumination, and that brings about a regeneration in our lives. God turns the light on or illuminates that. Now, here's one thing that we need to keep in mind. Either the word of God will keep you from sin, or sin will keep us from the word of God. Either the word of God will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from the word of God. That's a truthful statement. It's all truthful. So when we come to verse number 22, we find this, that God has a demand. He demands a word of God in our lives. Be ye doers of the word. Notice it's a command. It's not an option. It's not an option. We as Christians, then, this is an action word. It act out the word of God in our lives. We're to act that out. How are we then when we come to acting out our Christian life? How good are we? You know, many of you read a lot. How many of us read a lot of books and things like that? Okay, a few of you. How many of you find yourself reading very little? Don't read very much. Okay. What does reading a book or reading instructions? How many? Okay, man, this is a man thing. You buy something and you have to put it together. Men, the first thing we do is get the instructions, right? Wrong. No, we don't. We figure, I can put this thing. I don't need the instruction. I mean, it's just a bookshelf, or it's just a cart. You know, and Deb and I were working on a little cart. One of the carts that was out in the activity room that she rolled around. We bought that thing and I brought it home. And it's four pieces of plastic. Four wheels. What could be so difficult about putting that all together? Well, after we took it apart the second time, I think it was, and put it back together using the instructions, it made a lot more sense. But you know, books are our great resources for knowledge, aren't they? Knowledge. I think, actually, your father, Brian, is... I think he's saving old books, isn't he? He likes old books, and he's saving them because one of these days, when all electronics goes down, the old books are going to tell us how to do things. Old books are going to tell us how to do things. And I thought that was very wise. I mean, so books demand us to act like the book and read the Bible acts. It tells us to act like what we're to act like in the Word of God. God tells us how to act. Here's an example. How many of you have a cookbook? Okay. Most of you women have cookbooks. I don't think any men in here have cookbooks. Wes says, Amber, you need to get a cookbook. Okay. Is that true? Demi, does your mother cook? Is she a good cook? Okay. Here's the thing. The cookbook will give you how to put something together, but it doesn't tell you to make breakfast. Does it? Same thing with your owner's manual of your automobile. You can read everything about it, but it doesn't tell you how to drive. That's what's unique about the Bible. It tells us all about ourselves, and it tells us how to live. It's unique in the sense that it shows us how to live. You can have a math book, but it won't tell you how to count anything. But the Bible tells us, it demands that we be doers of what we hear from this book. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing the Word of God. The more we hear the Word of God, the more we hear the Scripture of the Bible, the more our faith grows. It's the truth. God said it. That's the way it works. And you and I who have been saved have heard the Word of God, and God has turned the light on of His understanding. The Bible is not to be stored away in the back of our minds and forgotten. It's to be called upon when life's lessons come our way. That's the reason we study God's Word. Now, I want you to look up three verses this morning. I'm going to keep you busy. I want you to look up these three verses. John 3:21, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, and verse number 21. Jesus is speaking here. Now, you remember in John chapter 3, Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, that religious man, and said, and he told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born from above. And he said, well, I don't understand the term born again. Can I enter again the second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit. But if you look at verse number 21 in John's Gospel, chapter 3, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made known that they are wrought in God. The things that we need to understand is that our deeds and our works may be God blessed, are wrought in God, or God's started them out. Now I want you to take your Bible and go to the right to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Almost all the way to the back of your Bible. 1 Peter chapter number 3. Now I'm speaking to Christians today, okay? 1 Peter chapter number 3, and look at verse 15. 1 Peter 3:15. It says, but sanctify or set apart the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, here's your testimony. When someone asks you, well, what makes you tick? What makes you a Christian? Or why did you choose to become a Christian? We need to come up with the answer, and we should be, but sanctify the Lord God or set it apart in our hearts that we may be able to give an answer to everyone that asks us, a reason of the very hope that is within us with meekness and fear. So we need to be able to say, I became a Christian because God saved my sin-sick soul. I became a Christian because I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe I became a Christian because God turned the light on in my life that I might be saved. God gave me enough faith. It's all His. He gave me enough faith to believe. Now the last one I want you to look is James. Go back to the left, just a few little pages there, to James 4:17. Therefore, whenever you see the word therefore, what's the term? We look and see what it's there for, okay? Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Okay? If I know to do good and I don't do it, God says that's sin in my life. To him that knows to do good. So what have we learned already? He says, take my word, hide it in your heart, have it there available. So when someone asks you the hope that is in you, you'll be able to respond with meekness and fear. And if I don't, God says it's sin. Because you know to do good and you don't do it. Therefore, it is sin. There's a little poem that I wrote down years ago. It's not original with me. But it's a true little statement, a true little poem, just four lines. It's easier to preach than to practice. Well, that's the truth. It's easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few. Let me give you that one more time. It's easier to preach than to practice. It's easier to say than to do. Most sermons are heard by the many, but taken to heart by the few. You see, God demands something from us, doesn't He? And then we develop God's Word in our lives. The Word is a growing, you know, and you can look up the sower and the seed, and it said a sower went forth to sow the seed, and we find out that Jesus interpreted that as sowing the seed, as the seed is the Word of God, and it grows. It grows. And the soil that the seed landed on are lives, people's hearts. And there were four kinds of hearts. Weren't there? There was a stony heart. There was a hard heart. There was a heart that was covered with briars and thorns, and that grew up and it choked out the seed. The hard pathway that the seed fell on is that which people walked on, and it was so hard that it couldn't have much root. But then he says, some fell upon good ground. And it sprang forth and developed and produced fruit. That's the way our life should be. Produce fruit. It's a process that starts by someone sharing the word of God with someone else. And it sprouts and it grows. You've heard me say this many, many, many times. And I'll never get over saying it. I am so thankful that there were two women that shared the gospel of Christ with me. And God allowed me enough faith to believe it. We're responsible this morning, not only for what we preach, but we're responsible for what we hear today. What we hear. James says, don't be deceived there in verse number 22 of chapter 1. We're responsible to God for what we hear and to do what we're told to do in the sermons that Jesus speaks. How many people today are content to go into a restaurant, sit down, read the menu, and get up and walk out and say, oh, I'm full now. I'm full now. I think that's a perfect example of people coming in and sitting in churches, getting up. They've heard a message. They've heard a sermon. They've heard preachers preach. They've sat down. They've walked out. And you know what? It's just like going into a restaurant, sitting down, reading the menu, and getting up and walking out and say, I'm full. If we don't do what we heard God tell us to do. We're to be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving our own selves. And so we're to hear the word and we're to do what we hear. And he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Because one day we're going to stand accountable to God, aren't we? In verse 23 and verse 24 of James chapter 1, if you look there, 23 and 24, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Disregarding just a casual glance. It looks like I'm okay. It's this idea. Imagine you're working on an automobile assembly line and you don't care how you put your part on. And you have a whole assembly line and you don't, none of you care how the parts are put together on that car. And you drive it away and it's rattling and it doesn't work. Careless, casual, haphazard performance, and the end result of a product that will not satisfy nor will it function properly. That's the majority of Christians today. We live unsatisfying lives and we don't function properly. The same is true in this life that we have, because life isn't casual at times. It's haphazardous at times. It's violent at times. And we ought to be an active student of the Word of God. I pity a Christian that has the opportunity but doesn't take the time. Now I'm going to be really, really, really to make you angry. Some of you in here, let's be honest. Some of you used to come on Sunday morning, come on Sunday night, come on Wednesday. You no longer do it. Why? Why? You don't want to. Got more activities to belong to. You're like the individual that goes in and sits down at a restaurant reading the menu and getting up and walking out thinking, I'm okay. Listen, folks, there's not a one of us in this room, myself included, can we ever get enough knowledge, God's word? We are to study ourselves, to make ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing God's word, the word of truth. It's important. Listen, if you're in leadership in this church, you ought to be here 3 times a week. It's when the church is open. It's just the way it is. If you can't, then you shouldn't be in leadership. The same is true in this Christian life. I pity the Christian that has the opportunity but doesn't do it. Heart is deceitful above all things, the scripture says, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Looking at verse number 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's not a one of us in this room who doesn't want God's blessing on their life. The word is the law of liberty, freedom. There's a freedom that comes along with obedience to God's word. Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Notice, looking into the perfect law of liberty, that's examining ourselves. We are either vessels of honor or vessels of dishonor. There's no in between. We must respond to action today, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, or we're a vessel of dishonor. You know, I didn't like preaching this because you know what? It hits me right between the eyes. Two. Why? Because, you know, we're all in the same boat, aren't we? We all have the same responsibility. We all are hearers, and we should all be doers. Just the way it is. Now, the thing is, can we be content with our lives just the way they are? And if we are, shame on us. Shame on us. We're to grow in wisdom and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're to grow. We're to grow up. We're to be more earnestly desiring than ever before. Why? Because time's short. Time is short. When I read God's word and it tells us that one of these days we're going to be standing before God, I don't want to stand before my Lord and Savior ashamed. I had a vast amount of opportunity and I certainly didn't take advantage of it. I didn't care enough until it's too late. It's true. Let's stand this morning. Doers of the word and not just hearers. What a blessing to be a doer. A doer. It's home, doesn't it? It's home. I wonder what those Pharisees thought when Jesus over and over and over again called them hypocrites. hypocrites, play actors. That's what a hypocrite is, a play actor. Christianity is not a good play to be an actor in. It's a life. It's a life. Father, thank you today for your word. It's convicting. Lord, it's hard to say because we see ourselves looking into that glass and we walk away and we're saying, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. When in reality, there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of change to be made. There's a lot of knowledge to be gained. But we don't take the time. Father, it's convicting. But that's what your word does. It convicts. But it also restores, and I thank you, Father, for that. The promise of restoration. Dismiss us today, Lord, and we thank you for a beautiful day. And we give you praise, thanking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shake hands before you leave.